It,
well, no, but you were smelling your hair. That is what you were doing.
It's a fetish.
Smelling your hair. Okay.
Well, yeah, actually.
Okay. All right.
Hello. Welcome to Intellectual Kink. What you doing? You got a furrowed brow. What's going on?
We're looking for a brick so I can plug in my phone.
Haha, I brought my own brick. Oh, I have an extra brick.
Sweet.
Oh, I have an extra brick. Bam, bam, bam. There you go.
Thanks.
That's what happens when you have a very large purse. A very large purse, which I just showed to the people on the video interwebs, which you can watch and listen to if you go to livestream.com and you search for Skid Row Studios. Then you can see Ms. Nancy's beautiful mug. My mug.
Oh, stop.
Yeah. So I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And we were going to have a fantastic guest on, but unfortunately something came up.
Which is perfectly fine. We'll reschedule for a later time that is convenient for everybody.
Absolutely.
When I'm not going crazy at work.
That's not going to happen. So it's totally cool. No problem with that. Whatever. But then we were thinking, okay, so originally the topic was going to be mentorship, which is awesome. Like, right? But then over dinner, I thought, we could talk about mentorship. Sure. But do you know what today is?
What is it?
Today is October 30th. Do you know what that is?
I don't know.
It's Halloween Eve. You feeling me, right?
Yeah.
You feeling me that it's Halloween Eve?
Yeah.
Where did the childlike joy for Halloween go?
I didn't really
hurt you.
Have that as a kid.
What?
I really didn't.
Oh, Halloween's the best. You get to dress up and be, you know, anything you want. Anything you want. And then people give you candy for it. I mean, it's kind of like prostitution, except instead of money, you're getting candy. Right. So, I mean, you know, those times when you want to dress like, you know, a prostitute, hey, it works.
Well, I mean, as an adult, candy. That totally works.
Leave candy on my bedstand. That's good.
Mindy, you're so damn cute.
Full bars.
You're so fucking cute.
Mindy has a little polar bear puppet on her hand. She has it up its butt. She's fisting it is what she's doing. It's weird. And she's about to put it in her mouth. It's awesome. Anyway, so because it's Halloween Eve, I thought, well, we need to do something with this. We've never had a Halloween episode. Not that we haven't been on near or around Halloween time. We have, certainly. But we've never had an actual Halloween episode. And I thought, let's have a Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Right. But what does a Halloween episode look like?
I don't... I see, I'm following your lead because I've only really experienced, like, you know, what Halloween is supposed to be for kids when I'm at your house. Like,
Yeah, but you've been to, like, kinky Halloween. We're not having a kid's Halloween here. You get that right? Like,
because yeah.
We talk about
stuff.
Like, things that are inappropriate for children.
Right.
So this is not, we're not going to be talking children stuff here. You get that right?
Yeah, I get
okay.
that.
Okay, so we're clear on that.
Yes.
Awesome. So I thought, well, originally I thought, we can do scary BDSM stories. She's tired. She's yawning. I knew we should have stopped for coffee. So I thought, scary BDSM stories. And then, you know, we've done this before when we had, like, safety stuff. And we talk about, the, you know, these are tales of cautionary tales. That's the word I use.
Cautionary tales.
Cautionary tales about ensuring that you don't do these stupid things.
Yes.
You don't want to do stupid things. But then my mind, I'm a very creative person. So then my mind was like, or We can do the Intellectual Kink Halloween episode with BDSM stories / fanfic that we'll tell right here on the air. Make it up from our little minds. Does that sound like fun?
They just call our brains little.
Yes. I like to underpromise and overdeliver. It's very important to me to do that.
Okay.
So if people think that we have little minds, then they'll be like, fuck, them bitches is smart.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, right. And those people, like, in New England, be wicked smart. That's what they would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't talk like that.
Hell no.
We talk like people from Los Angeles. That's how we talk. Anyway. So this is what I was thinking, right?
Yes.
Sound like fun?
Yeah.
You going to participate?
I'm going to do my best.
How does you not do your best? I don't understand. All right, so we're going to try.
I hope you're going first, because I don't know what I'm going to do.
Totally going first. Hold on, try. Ah, I have all these things. Wish I had music. I don't have music. When I was
some sort of spooky music.
I have sound effects. Listen. That was a werewolf. You can't hear it.
You can't hear it. This is going to be a mess.
Shut up. Nobody asked you.
Okay.
Nobody asked you. All right. So, we're going to talk about BDSM scary stories. And I'm basing some of this on a little bit of truth. Because if you think about it, most myths have a little bit of truth in them. Mm-hmm. Some have more than others. But once upon a time, in a land not so far from here, not so different from the land we live in now, there was a woman. And she sought a special experience. And so through the magic of reaching out and connecting the internet, she...
Like you said, you're going to have a straight face.
I can't be straight. I'm trying. I can't channel Stephen Colbert, man. Man's a fucking genius. I'm going to do it. She connected with someone, and she magically asked him to come over via an email. And this man, who seemed very normal, an average person on the outside, came to her home. They had never met before. She had never seen him before. She let this man into her home. And little did she know, it was on a night much like this, except the moon shone full over the house. And at that moment, when the man was in the house, he transformed into a terrible hairy beast with claws and gnashing teeth. And he used these claws and these gnashing teeth on this poor woman. And he hurt her, and he scratched at her, and he bit at her, and he beat her. And she liked it. And then they lived happily ever after.
That's a Halloween story?
Why is that not a Halloween story? It was a werewolf. She got the werewolf?
Yes.
You got the werewolf? No?
Yes. No, I get that.
We're talking about real life vampirism.
My turn. I was called a vampire today because they couldn't find veins in order to draw blood. And so my thing was,
and you're
like,
very
well,
pale.
No, obviously I'm a cold-hearted bitch because you can't find any veins in me. Where would the blood be running through?
And you're very pale. Yeah. When you should, in fact, be very dark.
I
think they're right.
Fail miserably at being a Mexican.
You really do, on every possible level, except for speaking the language. You really do fail.
I do very well.
You do that very well. All right, your turn.
There once was a boy and a girl. They both truly, truly enjoyed getting the shit beat out of them. They once received a magical message via vet.
How magical.
Right. The Fet Life mailman.
The Fet Life fairy.
So they got this message explaining to the both of them to please meet in a location kind of far from the road. Somewhere in the forested area. They were instructed to get on their knees and put on a blindfold. They waited very patiently.
For how long?
Well, I didn't ask questions during your story. They waited very patiently.
Yeah, but that was my story.
They waited very patiently for this woman to come. They had never once received a message from her until this. But they were so adventurous and they were so excited to get the shit beat out of them that they just didn't really think about, hey, who is this person sending me this magical message? So they knelt there, waiting and waiting and waiting. One of them felt claws on their back, not sharp, not gouging into them, but just slight, almost like branches. The other felt someone getting really close up to their ear and whispering, "My, what a dirty, dirty slut you are." They both knelt there so excited. One of them wanted to take off the blindfold, but suddenly a hand reached over and grasped their neck and said, "Don't you dare. Don't you dare take a peek." They both had goosebumps and were shivering in excitement. Excitement, maybe also cold. The man felt someone tugging at his testicles and squealed in pain, but also excitement. And the woman felt someone tugging at her nipples and screamed. She was so sensitive. Couldn't have anyone touch her nipples. And this went on and on for hours and hours and hours, just teasing. And then everything went quiet. And they were still there, kneeling, blindfolded. They took off the blindfolds and no one was there. It was almost as if though they had been played with a breeze or just some mystical creature that may have never been there at all. The end.
That was nice. That was very pretty.
Okay.
You inspired me to do a story.
Okay.
There was once a brother and sister. They were young adults over the age of 18, please to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in a fairly remote part of the world. And one time they were out in the forest and they decided to hike deep and deep and deeper, deeper into the forest. And when they got the farthest they've ever been, they saw this house. But the house was made of pizza and burritos and tacos and hamburgers and french fries and onion rings and all of the foods that they loved.
Mm.
And they were so hungry and they could smell it. And they looked around and the house appeared to be abandoned except for this very fresh food that was not going bad at all. It was well within the period before there would be bacteria growing.
Yes.
And they decided, the boy looked around and grabbed off just one single french fry and took a bite and said to his sister, "Oh, you must try this. It's so delicious." And she reached over and very gingerly took an onion ring. And then immediately, "Oh my goodness, I can't take it anymore." And they started diving in and putting food in their face. And it was as if they couldn't stop. It was so delicious. Even beyond when they were full, they were still wanting to eat. They were so, so hungry. And at that point, the door slammed open and a witch stood there. Well, had to be a witch. She was ugly and she had a wart upon her nose. There was no other possibility.
Mm-mm.
And they looked at them, ketchup all over their faces, grease on their fingers, and said, "Oh," and they tried to run away. But something prevented them from getting past the barrier, past the marshmallow picket fence. And they couldn't get past. And she said, no. "You've had your fun. Now it's my turn." And they begged and pleaded, ma'am, "I'm terribly sorry. We didn't know. We thought nobody was here. We thought it didn't belong to anyone. We thought it was abandoned." And she said, "All this fresh, delicious food abandoned? What kind of a fool are you? I shall put you in the fool's corner." And she brought him in first. And in the corner was a cage high up with shackles. And she put him up there, shackled him into the cage, and said, "That is the fool's corner." And she took a marker and wrote the word fool on his forehead. But it wasn't just a marker. He could feel it burning into his skin. He wasn't know what it was. Was it acid? Was it something? It didn't continue to burn, but it was there, and he knew it. He could feel it etched in there. And the sister was terrified. Oh, my goodness. What are you doing? No, you can't do it. And she said, ah, for you, I have something very special. And she brought her over and laid her down upon a table and took all her hands and spread them out high and spiked them up, tied them, and her legs and spread them out deep and long and pulled them out. And the girl was being pulled very tightly, and she said, this is very uncomfortable. What are you doing? She tried to struggle. The more she struggled, the tighter it got. And she struggled and struggled until she could not move any longer. And her wrists were being pulled so tightly, she could see the ropes just digging into them. She could feel them digging into her feet. And she said, what will you do? What will you do? And this is the point when the witch said, I am tired of your sounds. And a gag quickly went in her mouth. And it wasn't just any gag. It was a gag with about, you know, 4-inch dildo that went into her mouth. She couldn't move. She couldn't talk. Maybe not 4 inches, maybe 2.5. But she had this black cock gag in her mouth. And she was, that's all. And the witch said, ah, music to my ears. And she said, but you will see. I will not blindfold you. And your brother will see as well. And the brother at the cage shook and rocked the cage, and he asked, please don't hurt my sister. Please don't hurt my sister. At which point, a hood magically appeared on his head, and he could see nothing and speak not at all. And she said, ah, music to my ears again. And then she brought up this very interesting machine. It was something that it had an arm, and then at the extension, it looked like a penis. And she brought it up to the girl. And this, girls and boys, was what we call a fucking machine. And she slid it into the girl and turned it on. And the girl sat there and writhed while the fucking machine went on and on and on. Mm. And the witch then took some clamps and clamped the girl's nipples. And then slowly pulled on them and then attached them to a hook in the ceiling that whenever she moved, it would pull on her nipples harder and harder and harder, which had a whole different other set of reactions. And then she pulled the boy. While this was all going on, she left her to this, where she is constantly being bombarded by the sensation of her nipples being played with and her pussy being fucked. She brings the boy over and makes him kneel and puts him on a spanking bench, a horse. Ties him down tight. He struggles. But there's something about these binds that she used. Every time somebody would struggle with them, they would just become tighter. It was almost as if it was like cling wrap, like sucking them in, and he couldn't move. And his taut muscles were very visible through all of this, and he was really struggling. Did him no good. And she said, oh, I'm going to have so much fun with you. Because his backside was hanging off of what would be a spanking bench, and so there was his buttocks, and hanging was his penis and his testicles. She first grabbed the penis and testicles and tied them very tightly, and then took the rope and kept tying and tying and tying, and so that they were a little exposed. And then she played around with a little tap, 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 tap on the very exposed testicles, and then decided, well, he has a hole. Let's do things with this hole too. And she found a butt plug, and it was way too big for him. And she spit on his ass and then shoved the butt plug in. And then she took her razor sharp nails and began scratching on his back and down to his butt. And then she began to hit and beat and cause him all of this pain and the sensation. And he still had the hood on, and he was still gagged, and he couldn't really scream. And the girl had all of these things going on, and it was such an intense, amazing experience that all they kept thinking is, we shouldn't have stolen this food. We should have known there's always a price. But yet they did it anyway, and all of this happened. And at the end, when the witch was done, the boy and girl woke up in the middle of the forest. Nothing around them. No magical house. No nothing. And they thought, had they dreamt it? Did they fall asleep? They never spoke to each other about it. And yet, there were marks all over their bodies.
There was once a girl who thought herself so superior, thought she could do no wrong, thought that she was beyond any kind of reproach. It was a Halloween night, and there she was, buying candy to give out to the children that were going to her home. And she bumped into a lady that was there for a similar purpose, cruising the same aisle. Bumped into her, didn't bother to say, "Excuse me." That was her first mistake. She turns the corner and the woman is also now in the next aisle with her. She's tall, red hair, gorgeous eyes, and something about her just mesmerized this poor, poor young lady. She felt so drawn to her. She felt so drawn to her that she followed her into the parking lot, and she couldn't understand why. Why was she following this strange woman? She had completely forgotten that she'd bumped into her. She was so oblivious. The redheaded woman kept smiling at her, like she somehow had some sort of control over her. She said to her, "You're going to come home with me." And this poor young woman couldn't be opposed to it. As much as she wanted to say no, as much as she wanted to walk away, it was as if though she was hypnotized in some way that she had to follow this red-haired woman. So she willingly got into her car and went to the red-haired woman's house. Upon arriving, the redhead woman said to her, "I bet you don't know. You don't know who you fucked with. You don't know. You don't know how your non-manners affect other people." Non-manners. I just made up the word.
I like that. Right? Works.
The young woman didn't know what to do. She had no idea what she was talking about. Who the fuck was this lady to tell her that she didn't have any manners? The redhead woman asked her very politely to kneel. And the young woman couldn't control herself. She could not stop herself from kneeling. And all she could think was, "Fuck this bitch. Who the fuck is she?" The redhead woman started circling her. And as she came to the front of the young lady, she had a knife in her hand and started cutting off her clothes. And all this young woman could do was just kneel there and take it. All she had to do was just kneel there. Soon all of her clothes was off. The redheaded woman disappeared, but the young lady stayed there on her knees, unable to move, under some sort of mystical spell. The redheaded woman returned with several items in her arms, almost too much to carry. She said to the young lady, "You're going to pay for being rude. You're no longer yourself. You now belong to me." The young woman went from being angry and belligerent to being scared and cowering like some sort of small insect being towered over by this giant. The redheaded woman started laying out all the items for her to see. And they went a little something like this. Heels, black, patent leather, with these straps that locked, and padlocks to match. Stockings, fishnet, of course, because what else would they have been? A butt plug, very shiny, with a jewel. Some sort of contraption that she didn't quite know what it was, but she would soon find out. A little black dress. It looked like it could fit a child. It was too small. There was no way that it could fit on her. That's for sure. Some other metal-looking contraption that she would also find out what was for in a bit. Something that looked like it had a strap and it had some sort of dog bone on it. She wasn't sure what it was for. Some makeup. She just couldn't put it all together. What was going to happen? The redheaded woman was giggling. She was obviously very excited about what was to come. She turned to the young lady and said, I bet you're wondering what I'm going to do with all of these things. Well, you see, since you now belong to me, it's up to me what you look like. It's up to me what you feel like. Slowly, she started slipping some of these items onto her. The item that she couldn't quite figure out, well, one of the two items that she couldn't quite figure out what they were, slowly slipped into her vagina. She tried to fight it, but oddly, she was very wet. There were metal items, the second item she couldn't quite identify, that were clipped onto her nipples. She screamed and she tried to get away, but the hypnosis kept her there on her knees. She didn't know what she looked like after all of these items had gone on her. The redhead woman asked her to stand and led her over to a mirror. She looked like some tramp, some done-up French maid almost. The redhead woman looked at her and said, "This is what you will look like for the rest of your time with me. You are under my control, and you will do as I say." The young lady couldn't help but scream. She couldn't get away. What was she to do? The redhead woman looked at her and said, "You're fighting now, but you'll soon learn to love it." And sure enough, as the days, the weeks, the months, and the years passed, the young lady could not have imagined her life in any other way. The end.
Did she start being polite? If there's a moral to the story, I want to make sure it works. One day, a very high-powered attorney, at the end of a very stressful day, went to the beach, still in his business suit, still in his loafers. He just walked out on the beach, and he screamed at the ocean because he was so stressed. He just didn't know what to do. And as he screamed, he fell to his knees, and he began to cry and weep. Because he had to let it all out. There was so much responsibility. And he just looked up at the sky and said, "Please, don't use the cough button. Please, take it all away. I don't want any of this responsibility. I don't want to have to make another decision again in my life." And something started rising from the water, and he thought it was a wave, but it was just in one spot. And then a woman seemed to come from the water, kind of like in the Little Mermaid movies, but I wasn't the Little Mermaid, and walked up to him. He's still on his knees. He's still flabbergasted. This person came out of the water, and she said, "You made a wish. I'm here to grant it." And he looked at her. She was beautiful. Everything that he ever wanted in a woman. She had a soft face, sweet, caring eyes, plump lips, long, flowing, auburn hair. And she took her hand and told him to rise and said, "Now we will go home." In a heartbeat, they were back at this beautiful estate. It was palatial with great, gorgeous yards of grass and gardens and columns. It was like heaven. And she said, "Come, you won't have to worry anymore about anything." And he was looking at everything and he was thinking, "God, how much does this cost? And what's the upkeep of this? And what does she do? And how can she afford this? And what's going to happen? And I don't understand. What wish did I make?" All of these things. His mind was being very analytical. And she brought him in. And as he walked in, he saw all of these servants. They were all dressed exactly the same in white shirts and gray slacks. Men and women, all the same. And she walked in, and she said, come with me, and walked down a very long hallway into a room. And it was a room you would expect to be a bedroom, but there was no bed. There was like a large pillow on the ground. And then in the other corner, there was a cage. Like this would be a doggy room. And she said, this is where you will live. And she put him in the cage. And she had taken all of his clothes off, and he was naked. And he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, 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 no. You can't do this. You can't legally keep me here. And she said, oh, but I can, because you are outside of the reach of the law. You will learn that that isn't there anymore. She kept him in there, and there was food, and there was water given to him, and he had a place to go to the bathroom, but he was never allowed to walk on 2 feet. He had to walk on all fours whenever he was there, but it was only within that room. He wasn't ever allowed out. Once he got in that room, he was confined, and he didn't know how long he was there, days, weeks, and he started thinking, I've been wronged, and how do I escape? All of these thoughts. And he started formulating plans on how to get out. But every time she walked in, all of those ideas faded away. And it was simply just a look, a very soft, gentle touch, a pat of the head. And he melted immediately. But she would leave, and all of these ideas kept coming back. And he was trying to reassert himself because he was in control. And he kept going back to, what did I say? What was this quote-unquote wish? I don't remember. He couldn't remember everything that he had wished for. And he doesn't know how long it went. Days, weeks, months, no clue. But he remembered he didn't know how it felt to walk on 2 feet. He remembered he could almost forget what it was like to use utensils to eat, to drink with a glass. Any of those things, they were so distant, he wasn't even sure who or what or where he was. And one day, she walked in, and he obediently came out of his cage when she opened it and came to her feet just the way she liked, kissed her feet, and did everything perfectly. And she said, I think you might be ready. And so she put a collar on him and a leash and opened the door. And the thought didn't enter his mind that he would try and run. He knew he needed to stay here, next to his master, and never leave. And they walked out into the hall, and he didn't look up and around, and he stayed there. He wanted to be right as close to her as he possibly could be, as she would allow. And they walked out into this grand area, and he saw down that everything was lower for people to be able to get with their teeth. There were other things that he could fetch, but it wasn't like bones and balls. It was other things, like there were specialized trays that you can grab with your teeth that had slippers on them for her, or specialized trays that had a book or a magazine or any of the things that she might ask for that somebody could go fetch with their teeth. And he noticed this and he thought, will she ask me? Will I be allowed to get this for her? Will this be something I can do? And that was all he could think about. The joy of doing this, of serving her. It was all he could imagine. She sat in this beautiful plush chaise lounge, and he sat next to her proudly. And she pet him and said, are you going to be my good boy? You're going to do what I say, right? And he just nodded. He didn't even speak. And just said, that's right. You're not to speak unless I tell you to. Do you understand me? And he nodded. She said, you may speak now. And he said, yes. And she said, yes, what? And he didn't know. He didn't know what to call her. But on some level, he understood. And he said, yes, master. And she said, you may call me that, or you may call me mistress. I will accept either. And he thought, no, she is not a mistress. She is a master. She is the master of everything. As far as he could see, there was nobody else, nothing in this world that could be any higher than this woman was. And he was so excited. All he wanted was, just give me a command, any command. I don't care what it is. You could tell me to lick the dog, to lick the toilet bowl, and I'll do it. If it would please you, that would be it. This is all he could think. And she said, very well. Now that you've gotten this part down, your training will begin. And he thought, there was a moment of fear. Training? What? And she stood up and said, you stay. And he knew, I'm going to stay. And she went to a drawer and pulled out this bit and harness that linked to, he wasn't really sure. It was a leather thing and it looked like a hook. He wasn't really sure. And she put the bit in his mouth and said, you will bite down on this. And she fixed the harness onto his head so that it would hold him. And he looked kind of like a Doberman. And then the leather strap went back. And you and I know that this was an anal hook. And she took it and she slid it into his butt and then tightened the strap so that the anal hook and the head harness, they were both attached and it was tight. And he couldn't move his head down and he couldn't really move it back. I mean, he could a little bit, but not much. He was really having to stay and stand there and be proper. And it was to stand, make sure that he looked nice and beautiful and erect and something that was appropriate for a woman of this stature. What kind of a pet would she have? Something that would stand up straight like that. And he stood there and he was uncomfortable and awkward. And she said, now, come. She walked across the room and she had to train him to walk on all fours like a proper pet to do what she said. And this lasted, again, for weeks. All sorts of different trainings happened. He learned how to wear the proper kinds of doggy gear that she liked, how to prance, how to heel, how to fetch everything. And he could fetch everything that she wanted. And it was, he became invaluable to her. He knew it. If she needed her newspaper, he would go get it, and it would come back untarnished. It would be perfect for her. If she needed her slippers, he could get it. He only did bemoan the fact that he couldn't make coffee and lunch and other things that the people that were standing could do. But he could do everything else. And she touched him. She would pet him, and she would treat him much like you would any animal in your home and love them. And sometimes she would let him cuddle up on her on a stormy night when the thunder was rolling because he was a little scared. She might have been a little scared too, but she wouldn't say anything. And he felt closer to her than he had anything in his life. And he had forgotten all about who he was before, what he was. He didn't know that there was anything beyond this, and he could never imagine anything beyond it either. The end.
Oh, I don't want all of that. That's the story to end all stories.
It's not for you, but you know, other stories. Come up with what it was. We've done witches. That's kind of a genie.
Mm-hmm.
Hansel and Gretel. Your ghosts. We already did that. Kind of werewolves. We haven't done vampires.
Mm.
You could do a vampire story.
That's Twilight fanfic.
That's called 50 Shades of Grey.
There we go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about, real vampires?
I don't know. I'm really bad at those kind of stories.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
You just totally, I'm really wet from that story and kind of just
All right, well, let's take a quick break from the storytelling, and we talk really quickly about kind of Halloween in general. You didn't have kids Halloween stuffs when you were kids?
Fuck no, I didn't. I mean, there was seven of us. There was just no. Yeah.
Do you go trick or treating in Compton?
And we lived in the hood. We never went trick or treating in the hood. I don't think we ever went trick or treating. The only trick-or-treating I ever did was, at school, but, that didn't count. And even then...
You should trick-or-treating with me and the kids tomorrow.
I can't. I can't. But, yeah, I never dressed up. I think maybe I dressed up once for, a Halloween parade at school. And that's it. I missed out on a lot of kid shit.
Yeah, that sucks. We did a sissification and dollification class.
We did.
Last Friday.
Yes, we did.
And I painted a corset on you that looked kind of like a ladybug.
Still cleaning off.
Grease paint, kids. It lasts for days and days. But there was no glitter.
No glitter.
So that's rare, because I like the glitter, because it is the gift that keeps on giving, you know, let's be honest. And that was fun, and dressed up a boy, and that was fun, because dressing up boys like girls is fun. I really like that little dress that I put on him, even though I gave it to him. Mm-hmm. It was cool. It was ugly and cool. It was like a handkerchief dress, but it was silky. And
yeah.
It was awful. That's fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah. And then you dressed up as Athena. You looked so pretty.
I did. So I got to borrow. I was bemoaning the fact that no boys want to play with me. Mm-hmm. No boys want to play with me. And so I couldn't find a male demo bottom, which it's really hard to sissify a female because they're women. I don't know if you knew that. They're already technically. So I couldn't find a boy. And so my friend, a very good friend of ours, let me borrow her boy, and it was also happens to be his birthday, so it was a kind of a birthday present to him as well.
Yeah.
And it was fun to dress him up. But my friend said that, hey, is it a Halloween party? Are we dressing up? I was like, oh, if you dress up, I'll dress up. And she said, oh, I'll dress up. And so I was like, oh, shit, I guess I gotta dress up. So I did Google search for last minute Halloween costumes, and one of them said toga, and I'm like, done, I have a sheet. So, and I got like a gold leaf crown and whatever to wear, so I was Athena. I dressed up in a sheet with all that. It worked out pretty well.
Yeah,
I liked it. I was happy to be wearing, although it literally had just a sheet on.
Yeah.
Nothing underneath.
It was awesome.
Just a sheet.
It was awesome.
Okay. And when I was beating people that night, I'm pretty sure my boobs popped out a few times.
Ew.
So that happened. Gift that keeps on giving.
Okay, I have a story.
Woohoo, see? Breaks help.
Sorry. There once was this house at the end of the road that everyone would always avoid. The garden was completely untended to. It was definitely in need of a paint job. The shingles from the windows were almost falling off. It looked like a slight breeze could just blow the whole thing over. There was a young man who would pass by this home every single time on his way home from work. And every single time he'd pass by, he would hear these sounds, these screaming and moaning and just unpleasant sounds. This guy was a bit superstitious, and he thought, yeah, maybe this house is haunted. Would love to go on a ghost hunt. And what time better than Halloween, when all the spooks are supposed to be out?
Which means they're not home.
Right. So he packs up his bag with a couple of flashlights and, you know, whatever kind of other shit that people who go on ghost hunts pack. And he jumps the fence onto this property. House has this huge wraparound porch. There are about maybe three entrances to get inside. And he picks the one that seems to be the weakest that he could get into very easily. He tries the doorknob. And surprisingly, it's very secure. The door is very firmly locked. He thought, wow, that's odd. The house is vacant. Why wouldn't I be able to get in? So he goes to another door and finds the same obstacle, locked, probably with a deadbolt. Goes to the third door, the front door. Tries the doorknob, and it opens. He enters a long, dark hallway, covered in dust, cobwebs, creaky floorboards. Wallpaper is peeling. There's a few paintings up. Obviously, been there for a very long time. Have a few tears. And he hears the moaning, the groaning, and he thought, yeah, I'm going to have an awesome story to tell at work tomorrow. Goes down the hall and sees that there's light coming out from underneath the door. Goes towards the door, walks slowly. His heart starts racing. He thinks, fuck, what have I gotten into? Maybe this, what if there's something really terrifying here? Gets closer and closer to the door. And these sounds, just they get louder and louder and louder as he gets closer to the door. Puts his hand onto the doorknob and for a split second thinks, fuck, I should just turn around and just run the fuck out. I don't know what I'm going to find here. Opens the door. And what he finds inside is in complete contrast to the exterior of the home. Completely different from the hallway that he was just in. Lavish curtains, red carpet, bright lighting. Of course, this is all the background of what he really sees. He looks at the room from left to right, because that's how you would look at a room when you first enter it, right? And he takes in what's before him. He sees a man naked, strapped to a cross, blood dripping down from his chest. He sees a woman strapped down to a table, breasts are big and bouncy and have some contraptions clipped onto them. Who the fuck knows? Sees a woman with a long whip in her hand. Obviously the one in charge, as she's the only one that has on clothes. Sees another man bent over a bench with something that looks like it's coming either out of his ass or going into his ass. He can't quite figure out. Sees a couple of young ladies tied together, face to face, almost kissing, and they're dangling from the ceiling. Their toes are pointed and someone has spun them around. They're dancing like ballerinas in the sky. And again, ringing in his ears is all the moaning and the groaning and the screams, and he realizes these aren't ghosts. Those sounds aren't from tortured souls. They're from pleasure. At the end, that's it. That's all I got.
Okay. The end. He doesn't join in. He doesn't, you know.
You take over.
Well, we're running out of time.
Well, what does he do? You take over the story.
He's horrified. He's mortified that this would happen. That, what is it? But he doesn't leave. Because part of him is fascinated. He noticed, well, everybody noticed, he has an erection. It's very arousing. And he's not sure why. He doesn't like the idea of hurting people. That's bad. You don't hurt people. That's a bad thing to do. The one with the whip turns around and sees him and says, oh, so you finally got the courage to come in. And he's stammering. He couldn't even speak. And she said, it's all right. But if you're in my home, you do not wear clothes. And so he said, and she said, just take them off. And he started just removing his clothes. He didn't see why not. He couldn't justify leaving. He couldn't justify not taking them off. It all seemed very rational. So he took them off. And he was naked, erect, dripping. Mm. And she said, I see it's such torture for you. And she said, seeing as you're new, I'll take it easy on you. And so she gently walked up to him and grabbed him by the throat, so lightly squeezing him and pushing him back onto a St. Andrew's cross, where she lightly had him put his hands back behind his back, and she reached around him, her breast pressing into him, And she, while rubbing up against him, and his penis, his cock, swelling even more because he could feel the satin of her bodice and the lace ruffling of the top of her stockings. And she tied the hands behind his back, and she said, "Now, you won't be blindfolded, but you're just going to stay here. You're going to watch for a little while, and I'll pay a little bit of attention to you." And as the evening went on, she would occasionally come over and scratch his chest, pull on his testicles and penis, pinch his nipples, smack his face, and he stayed and never left. There was no story to tell at work. There you go. That's how it ends. Within time, too.
Right.
It's like time. See? It worked out.
It worked out. I was nervous.
Yeah, it was fun. Mm-hmm. Even got into it.
I mean, it was really, all of it was erotica, but hey, that's cool. I really, like, kind of, like, dripping with desire here. You're cackling at me.
I don't know. Are you dressing up for Halloween?
No.
What for? Yes, sure. So you have a white pinafore and a black dress and black shoes, and you're going to put your hair back in a bun.
I'm not going to dress up to work.
You're going
to
be a maid.
I'm not going to dress up to work.
You're going
to
be a maid.
I'm not going to dress up to work.
Black dress, white pinafore. You're going to be a maid.
I can't. I'm not going to dress up to work. I'm going to be the only one that's going to dress up to work.
You're going
to
be a maid.
I'm going to be the only one that dresses up to work.
Yeah. It makes you cool.
I don't think I'm. I don't know if I'm ready to cross that threshold at work.
Fine.
I will dress up for you if you'd like.
Well, no, you're going to be working late. You can't. Oh, the shillelaghs. Yeah. Well, whatever.
I'm sorry.
There's no dressing up. Fine. You can just dress up privately at home. Maybe. Maybe
what?
I don't know. Just maybe.
Maybe what?
Dressing up privately at home. I just said that.
Okay. I don't know. It sounded like that was like, you know, a key word for like something else that would maybe happen.
Because traditionally I say maybe as some sort of a magical keyword.
No. Sometimes you say maybe to things that we may or may not be doing.
Correct.
Okay. Never mind.
Your brain is not fully there, is it?
So fucking tired.
You're not there.
So tired.
You should have gotten the coffee.
Oh my God.
Should have gotten the coffee.
Can't get in now because we're going to go on the trade and then they're going to find us $250.
I've never been fined.
Dude, but I've seen it happen.
Not at night though.
No, I've seen it happen.
Yeah, during the day when all of the other people are there. Nobody's there at night.
I don't want to risk getting it taken for that much money. That's a lot of fucking money.
Put it in your purse. That's what I do. Put it in your purse. But that's basically our show. I don't know. Do we have anybody on next week?
Basically our show. No.
We do. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll ask. Well, there's a couple people we need to send messages out to see if they can come in. That would be fantastic. Yeah. I don't know. It was fun. I want to listen back. Because, you know, when you're telling the story, you're not...
You can't really listen
to it because you're telling it because you're like, ah, what's going to happen next? Ah, does that sound stupid? Ah, fuck it. You know, there's a lot of that because we just came off of the tops of our heads. Yeah. The very tippy tops.
Very, very tippy tops.
Let's see. Follow us on the Twitter, which the show is at Kinkalectual. I am at Insidious Muse.
And I'm at Service Slut. And you just blogged.
I did. I wrote something.
Which you haven't blogged in quite a while.
2 months. I looked.
Oh.
Actually, that last one wasn't even a blog. It was a post from a previous show. So I haven't written probably in months.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, it was good. It was good. Sometimes I look at my writing. I'm like, fuck. I got some skill. Why don't I write some more?
I want to blog.
So, well, you can blog. You just got to ask.
I know.
I got no problem with that.
So this morning, a vanilla friend texted me. And they were like, what the fuck? Why don't you ever text me? Why don't you ever Facebook anymore? Where are you? And my thing is like, dude, like there's a really small group of people that I'm going to like actually text, actively go in contact. I don't know. I'm tired.
You are tired. But listen to us, share us, review us, love us. Please love us. We love it if you love us. And tune in again next week.
Let's go
Happy
home.
Halloween.
Let's go home now.
All right. Bye.